Hello and welcome to another episode of Dad.fm. You're listening to another great podcast, right? That's what this is. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Cohn of DataRocks.com.
And this is Drew Bennett of BenSpark.com.
And Jeff Bogle will be joining us on another episode pretty soon. So tonight we're going to be talking about Marvel Avengers 2. This is like the dance, right? This is the big show. This has got superheroes flying around all over the place. This is what comic book geeks are looking forward to. This is the start of the blockbusters of summer movies, and it comes out Friday, May 1st.
And this is one of those really anticipated movies. It's really super hyped. And it delivers.
It absolutely delivers. I was shocked at how much of the hype machine was getting built up, and I was like, oh man, it's not going to live up to it, right? That's the fear that you have when you see one of these giant movies. I got to see a screening of it just the other day. It was amazing. They had plot. They had character development. They had character development that was like, even in a sequel, they had characters that had persona that weren't featured in the first episode as much. And it just was an amazingly well put together movie.
Absolutely. It's been a few weeks since I've seen it, and
rub that one in. Yeah,
let me just throw that one out there. So it's been a few weeks since I've seen the movie, and I cannot wait to see it again. I'm going to see it again on Monday. That's when I can get everyone together, because I work the weekend. So luckily I won't be missing out on too much, because I, again, had already seen it. You saw it the other night, right?
I saw it last night.
Last night, yeah.
The first time. I'll see it again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about your trip, and maybe you could talk a little bit about the highlights of your interviews that you got to have. And
sure.
Without doing spoilers, because we'll get to that pretty soon as we talk about the in-depth geekdom of the plots.
Right, there's no way we can...
Right now, there's no spoiler alerts. We're just talking about, you know, the interviews with the characters, you know, what we've seen so far, our simple review.
Right. I mean, and when we get into the nitty-gritty, there's no way we can do it without spoilers later. There's no way, because we'll get into it. But my trip, I went out April 9th, 10th, and 11th to California, and I was out there for the press junket. The first press junket, the first screening of Age of Ultron, and I saw the movie on April 9th that evening, the day I arrived in California, and it was just phenomenal. I edge your seat the whole time, watching it and enjoying it, and like you said, character development, they bring different characters, get expanded storylines, and there was so much to it, and it was pretty incredible. Now, the next day, we did a screening of another movie, The Monkey Kingdom, that came out last Friday, which is a Disney nature film. Went to the zoo, and then we went to the top secret location for the set visit to Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
is that run by S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like...
It's actually, they keep it pretty top secret. You know, we're not allowed to reveal where exactly where they film, and there's like a code name and everything, and you can't reveal that either. So I have some sort of a tracker on me that says whether or not I do, you know. But that was pretty amazing, because I got to walk through the sets, all of the different sets. I got to see the bus and Lola, and I got to sit in a Quinjet, sit at Coulson's desk, and got to have a quick little conversation with Clark Gregg, which was awesome. He was such a cool guy. We had taken a group picture, and I was standing right next to him. And after the group picture, he's like, "So how was the movie?" Because he hadn't seen it yet. And, you know, he's like, I said, you know, how was the movie? I heard it was really dark. And, you know, I heard this and I heard this. And, you know, how did so-and-so do? And so we had a, you know, maybe a 45-second to a minute conversation. But it was just made my day. It was a great time. So I only mention that too because the trip there to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is because there are some ties between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers that we'll get into later. But yeah, I got to meet a lot of the cast and interview them. Agent Ward and Mac and Fitz and Simmons and Sky and Lincoln and Agent May, Agent Coulson, like all these folks, and Bobby Mockingbird, got to meet her and talk with her. So that was all very, very cool. Got to tour the costume department, which was really interesting. The costume designer does a really fantastic job, and we get to see some of the costumes that are used in the show, and then some of like the newer costumes that were shown recently. With characters like Deathlok, the redesigned Deathlok costume, which was pretty cool. So that was a lot of fun. And then Saturday. The last day I was there was nonstop interviews with cast and then filmmakers for Age of Ultron. So we started the morning off with Jeremy Renner and Colby Smulders, so Hawkeye and Agent Maria Hill, and we got to talk with them. They were really nice and funny, and it's funny, Jeremy Renner's like, mommy bloggers, I didn't know that was a thing. so he was kind of playing it up to the mommy bloggers. He was funny. Then we went from them, we stayed in the same place. The actors came to us. So there were 25 bloggers, and I recorded all of it on a voice recorder, so I've been able to play back a lot of the interviews, so I could help with the post that I've had to write. I had to write one about all the different interviews we did. So four of them went up this week, or are going up this week, including my review of the movie. So it was we interviewed 10 people. We were supposed to do 12, but the timing and schedule didn't work out for Mark Ruffalo and and Black Widow, so we didn't get a chance. We were supposed to do those two folks together, and but we did Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans together, and they were fun. They were real loose. They were having a really good time with the group. We did Kevin Feige, President of Marvel. He was fun. And James Spader and Paul Bettany. It's funny because James Spader talks a lot. He can go, but you just love listening to him. And at the end of it, he's like, "Why don't we just stop everything else we're doing and stay here with these folks?" So he really played to the crowd, and we had a fun time with him. We also interviewed Joss Whedon, interviewed Aaron Taylor Johnson, who plays Quicksilver, and Elizabeth Olsen, who plays Scarlet Witch. And I want to. Why am I? I don't know if I'm blanking on anybody, but we did 10 people. So it was it was pretty busy, and it was a lot of fun. And we were finishing up. I think we said goodbye to Chris and Chris. They were our last interview of the day, and I was hopping on a transport back to the airport, and I barely made it to my flight, but it was worth it. It was a lot of fun. That end part is always high stress. So yeah, it was fun.
Well, it sounds like an incredible time. I'm biting my tongue in rage, jealousy. That's for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I will admit that I would love to have interviewed any of them. I would have loved to have been at the SVA premiere last night. I was not invited to that. I'll make a phone call about that tomorrow.
The SVA?
No, they had a New York premiere last night. But last night I was sitting in Kips Bay watching the screening. So there was part of me that was still thrilled, and there was another part of me being like, but I didn't get to walk the red carpet.
Mm.
Yeah, no. I'm cool. You know what? Look, realistically, I think this is the part now where we start saying there's some spoilers coming up. So I think from both Drew and I, it's a must-see. It definitely, if you're a superhero fan, this is an awesome movie. If you are coming into the franchise fresh, it might not make so much sense in terms of personal dynamics within the team if you didn't see the last one. So my strong opinion is, if you're not a comic book fan, you need to watch Marvel's Avengers before you go see Avengers 2. If you are a comic book fan, and I don't know if you're a comic book fan and how you didn't see the first Avengers movie, but you can easily just jump into Avengers 2. If you saw Avengers 1, Avengers 2 will pick right up where it left off and will make total sense. It's a must-see for me. Drew, what about for you?
Oh, it's definitely a must-see. I think it does stand on its own, but to get the real salty of it, you're going to want to see Avengers, the first Avengers, like you said, about the personal dynamics that are going on within the movie. One of the things that, you know, the movie opens right on the action. You know, it starts right up with the action. The team is there together. They are working together. They are doing things like combos of their powers.
I just want to make sure we're not getting into some spoiler alerts, because we just want to give the opinion, and then we'll say we're going into spoiler land.
Ooh, so you're... Well,
that's not
spoiler. Okay, that's not really that much of a spoiler.
We've all seen the promo posters. We know that they're working together.
Right, I mean, you see that in the trailer. You see that they're working together in the trailer, and that's how it starts, the movie starts. And when we interviewed Joss... you know, he said that's what he wanted to do was a big comic book battle page. You know, it's like you open up a comic book and there is this huge battle going on with teams versus the good guys versus the bad guys. He wanted to do like some epic panel like that, and that's how it starts rather than bringing you up to speed as to, you know, where so-and-so been since the last movie, and where so-and-so been since this movie, and now we got to go get everybody and bring them all in. You know, it starts with the action. The team's been working together. So.
I totally agree. For me, it's a must-see. The team is good. Oh, it's so good. All right. So, folks, if you are, if you've been listening, we have not given true spoilers away yet. But this is the point. If you do not want to have spoilers, we're going to be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to be talking about Avengers 2. This is the point where you need to sit there and say, thanks for listening to Dad FM, and get off. Because we're going to now get into the nitty-gritty comic book geekdom, spoiling some of the movie if you haven't seen it. But if you have seen it, we're going to talk about this right now. You ready to get into this, Drew?
I'm ready, but, you know, if you're going to shut it off right now for the spoilers, remember, hang on to it. Come back after you see the movie.
That's right. We'll talk about it. We'll be here. Jump right to this minute, right to 14 minutes into the podcast, and you got it. That's your spoiler alert, folks. If you're still listening at this point, we've just done 30 seconds of telling you, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. If that's not enough spoiler alert, I don't know what is. By the way, if you haven't heard, Derek's dead on Grey's Anatomy. There you go. Right? McDreamy's gone, all right?
McDreamy's
so if you haven't
dead.
Heard enough spoiler alerts yet, I just want to throw that out there. All right.
But you were only spoiling Avengers.
I always spoil everything, all right?
Hey, Darth is Luke's father.
Rosebud also is not a person, by the way. Let's get really back to the Citizen Kane reference. All right, folks, here we go. Let's jump into it.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, that, you know, these the team is working together, and that's amazing. And the movie picks up right after the events of last night's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ended, where Coulson basically has been working for a few weeks on tracking down List and Strucker, and you know, finally finds them, and he's tracking down Loki's scepter, and because Loki's scepter, in the upheaval of Hydra infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D. and destroying S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, they made away with some of the things that were in S.H.I.E.L.D.'s possession, including Loki's scepter. And that appears, you know, pretty prominently in this movie. It's in Sokovia, where Strucker is working on powered people and doing experiments on them. And basically, the only viable experiments are the twins, who are Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, who we see at the end of, I think it's Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I think that's the one where we see them first. I'm pretty sure that's the one where we see those guys right at the end. You know, one of the stingers at the end. So,
well, let's jump into it from the lead up, which is first we have Avengers, right? And Avengers is the story of the movie. It's that we get attacked. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. picks up, and it kind of takes place immediately following the Avengers, right? Isn't that where S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, it's a little while after Avengers because you know, Avengers, Coulson gets killed. And in S.H.I.E.L.D., he's back, and you find out through the first and second season what that took to bring him back,
right?
And what that was all about. And
now this season really has been tying into exactly where the movie picks off. So right. This week's episode that just came out really was a nice little kind of appetizer, if you will, into the movie. You didn't have to see it at all. And I did not see it. I saw it after I actually watched the movie and then saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when I got home that night. But you did not have to see this episode before going to see the movie. It's just a nice appetizer. Just whetted the palate of like some little brief talks. It kind of got some place. I will say, and this is beyond spoiler, I was very disappointed not to see some of the key members of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Being involved in the Avenger movie. I really thought maybe Coulson would have a nice little... pickup. I thought maybe some of these new S.H.I.E.L.D. agents would have been involved in some way, shape, or form in this movie. I was a little saddened to not see that.
Yeah, I was hoping to see something, some indication that the Avengers knew about Coulson. But I've been reading some different articles, and I don't know how, you know, much is going on, but there's been quite a few articles going on recently about Joss Whedon and Joss Whedon and Marvel and the Avengers and the TV universe and whether or not that's canon, and it's just like I've read a whole bunch of articles this past week about all these different things, and I was really hoping to see some of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. there, someone, you know, in right. it.
Well, at least one of the new guys. What's his name? Captain Adama from Battlestar Galactica, you know, who's now in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What's the actor's name? Come on.
Oh, it's Edward Jane Olmos. Edward James Olmos.
Edward James. It would have been nice to see Edward James Olmos involved in this version of, like, saying, hey, look, you know, we're still here, we're fighting, go get him, even on a screen or something.
Well, yeah, and it would have been cool too to see, you know, Adrian Pilecki, who plays Bobby Morse, Mockingbird, because there is a history between Mockingbird and Hawkeye, you know, in the comics at least. You know, maybe I'm getting too obscure there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that reference, so I think it's I thought it was a great little appetizer. Gets right into the movie. Like, they talk about how in the episode, they talk about, oh, there's this other plant. They find where the scepter is. And the scepter is truly what the mission is, right? That's where the show starts, is that the Avengers are going after the scepter.
Right.
That's beyond spoiler, right? So if you're still listening and you haven't seen this movie, and you're sitting here like, why did you spoil it? We gave you fair warning.
Well, and it's funny, there's also, and there's still the point of Theta Protocol, which isn't specifically finding Loki's scepter. That's something additional. The Theta Protocol, and they mention it, Coulson is working on something top secret, Theta Protocol. recruiting powered people and putting together a facility with a lot of beds and things like that. You know, I'm just wondering if we jump to the very end of the movie and there's this new facility for Avengers.
Right. So, in upstate New York.
In upstate New York.
Yeah. So we won't give you the, we won't truly, well, should we just truly say what the spoilers at the end there?
No. I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't say total spoilers. You know, we'll leave something to the imagination there. If somebody has missed our 30-second spoiler, and every time we say spoiler, there, it's like, you turn it off. It's like the monster at the end of the book. You know, you do not want to turn the next page. And it's funny. One of the things that Clark Gregg did say to us, he goes, "Was I in the movie?"
Well, it's funny that you say that, because one of the actors who is in the movie didn't even know he was in the movie. So
really?
We could talk about Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
He has been quoted in many a press junket saying that all of his scenes were shot in the first Avengers. So he didn't even realize he was in this movie until they said, okay, you're going to go do some of the junket. So I found that incredible.
Are you sure? I mean, when we talked to Joss, he was talking about filming the party scene, and that Falcon was in the party scene.
Yeah.
And if the party scene was, it seemed to me that the party scene was filmed during the second movie.
Are you sure he's in the party scene? Because I remember seeing Rhodes. I don't remember seeing.
Yeah, he's in there for just a little bit. Rhodes is in there, but Falcon's in there.
Yeah, Rhodes is in there a lot.
Yep.
And so what I think is there easily could have been a way that he could have done these filming clips, and they could have manipulated them to look like that was filmed at the same party scene. Right? There's enough technology now that you could easily drop it in the background and, you know.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That he didn't even know he was in the movie. That's interesting. I haven't read that or seen that in any of the press yet.
All right, well, we'll have to Google that out somewhere. But that's what I remember reading. I think that it's I thought it was great. I thought the action was unbelievable. Like, it really was action. There was very little downtime, and even in the downtime that there was. There was big character development going on, right? And I remember reading in Entertainment Weekly, they had this big interview with Josh about... Joss. I can't even say that. It doesn't come off my tongue. I would have embarrassed myself if I met him. You're like...
I didn't speak.
Right. Just drooling on you. So, no, I would have, you know, there was an interview with him in Entertainment Weekly, and he talked about how the psychological battle and the decision of protecting the Earth and having the Avengers is that one day you will not need the Avengers, right? And that's where the whole idea of, like, going for the Iron Guardians were, and, you know, so I get it. I understood that debate and the AI debate.
Right.
You know, there's something more there, right? Like, I wish the movie would have focused a little bit more in where did the AI just spring out of? Like, was it a computer virus? Was it not, you know, was it a sentient being in the crystal? And so there's a lot of that I wish they would have played more into. I wish they would have talked about more of the development of Vision. Like, why doesn't he have the same personality as Ultron if some of it was connected to him? Or if it was the living stone? And why was that... two different personalities inside the same stone? You know, why was one created good, one created evil?
Right.
So those things bothered me.
Well, I mean, there's essentially it's almost like a Cain and Abel story, and a Frankenstein story together, where, you know, you got this character who's created wondering, why am I here? What is my purpose? Like, you know, like a Frankenstein, and like, why was I created? Did I even want to be created? And just coming to terms with that. And then you've got Vision and Ultron on two sides, like a Cain and Abel, but not exactly in that same way. A lot of religious references in the movie, but not necessarily. And these were Joss said. It wasn't necessarily a specific, specifically to be religious or point towards a specific religion. But there are those type of questions to ask there of these beings being created, and there is a difference between where the fans of the Vision are going to if they're really hardcore fans of the Vision, he certainly has a different origin story than the movie, and speaks more to why he is so different than Ultron. Is that he has a synthesoul, I think it's what it's called. It's basically a soul, but the gem that he has embedded in his forehead, that's the mind gem.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The mind stone.
Mind stone. Spine stone. See, I was going to call it the soul gem, but that I'm thinking, no, that's not right.
No, that's a video game.
That is a video game. Yeah. No, Soul Calibur.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of. I really now want to know. For me, there's missing parts of this story, and I think that was done because of time. Because you can't make a 4-hour movie. Get that. You can't make a movie like this and split up into two parts. Get that too. But to me, there's about 7 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of cutting room floor footage that I'd really love to see. I'd really love to see a little bit more dialogue about why Vision came out the way he did, and realize like life is beautiful, and it's not about saving them, it's not about destroying them, but it's about to recognize their beauty and imperfection, right?
Right.
And I want to know why he became so different, using the same code base that came from the plucking of Loki's tool.
But he's kind of a mixture. He had the combination with Jarvis there. That AI of Jarvis.
Right, but there's something, to me, there's something wrong about that, right?
Okay.
You know, I still don't, because he said, I'm not Jarvis, and I.
Right.
And so he recognized that he wasn't Jarvis, but he wasn't Ultron. So where did that new personality come from? Where did that soul spring from? And I didn't like the answer that no one really gave, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And to me, they needed to explain that just a little bit more about, like, maybe the gem created, or maybe, like, Thor's hammer mixed with the gem created that soul. And that using Thor's hammer, it was a peacekeeping device, and it was, are you dutiful? And because of the years of, being on the side of right, he had a soul that was pure, right? To me, simple answers, like Thor could have said, I saw that vision, and, because I knew the power inside the hammer, that's why he is different, right? He's not a robot. He is not a, an evil monster that wants to destroy the world. He is, of this different form.
Right.
I wish that was there. That's something that I got hung up on while I was watching the movie, just thinking, how is he so different, and why, and they didn't show all his superpowers. Like, at some point you're watching a fight scene and he's reaching through a body, which was cool, but I wish they would have shown him morph through things and turn invisible. And
right.
So I would have liked to seen a little bit more of the Vision superpowers that we kind of saw during a fight scene, but would have liked to seen in practical use a little bit more.
The original cut was over 3 hours, so there's plenty on the cutting room floor, in our interview, Joss did say that he didn't want to, here we're making this 3-hour movie, you cannot pee, you can't, it's gonna keep going, you can't get up and go to the bathroom through this middle, it's 3-hour movie, what he, the movie actually comes out 1 minute shorter than the original Avengers.
Yeah.
He said it was a point of personal pride.
Well, I just wonder now, like, will they have this extended director's cut?
It's been announced.
Oh, it has?
Yes, on the Blu-ray. There'll be an extended, I don't know if it'll be 3 hours, but it'll be an extended version on the Blu-ray.
Can't wait for the Blu-ray, though.
Yeah.
Because that always bothers me. When you know that there's storyline missing and that should have been there, that bothers me.
Well, I mean, there were certain film, whether or not it explained those things that we have questions about.
There are questions about, like, the twins and why. Why did they volunteer to be tested upon, but then at first moment that they could escape, they were gone? And why, you know, where did that come from? You know, why were they tested upon standing there without chains, and then they were like, well, we're gone, bye. So to me, there was a lot of that questioning that I'm sure that would explain whether it's a backstory or whether it's going throughout the clips of why they volunteered was to seek the revenge, right?
Right.
So I wondered if that was shown more in film of where they were both, you know, the Hydra agents were testing on them at the same time. You know, they were playing Hydra to sit there and get the powers they need to have this revenge on Stark. And then to only realize that Stark was, you know, not the bad guy that they thought he was. I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Hey, so you obviously probably saw the X-Men Days of Futures Past, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. So which Quicksilver is your Quicksilver? Which one do you like better?
I like the one that doesn't have bullet holes. I don't get that. You know, that bothered me. bothered me from a lot of perspectives. Like,
yeah.
It would have been cool to give him, like, one or two and for him to have limped off the field. I didn't like him dying. That bothered me.
There's still no gravestone, though.
There's still no what?
There was no gravestone. There was no graveside. No, you know, no gravestone. No funeral. Who knows?
I'm pretty sure that the reaction from his sister, who's a psychic, was a true tale of what was going
okay,
on.
Okay, possible. but he could go to Tahiti.
yeah. Project Tahiti. Just spin it right up again. I didn't like that. I will be very honest. I did not like, you know, I understand, like, the idea that, you know, you're going to have a movie and you're going to have some death. I didn't like it being him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because in all of these shows that we watch about superhuman speed is that they're faster than bullets by a long shot. That they could pluck them out of the air as if, you know, it was a piece of apple dangling on fishing line from a tree. Right, like, this isn't, like, you know, tough stuff for them.
Right.
So I didn't like the idea that he pushed them out of the way but got shot up with a dozen bullets as opposed to pushing them out of the way and then was able to take all the bullets and be like, da-da-da-da-da, and be like, all right, maybe I missed one and got, like, a shoulder wound. I didn't love that. I really did. I enjoyed the Quicksilver from Days of Future Past, because his origins was mutant. Like, they, you know, because that's 20th Century Fox as versus Marvel Studio. That's a whole contract thing that they could say that they have the mutants. And in Marvel Studios, in the Disney wheelhouse, they can't say that they have mutants
due to
contractual things. So I like the idea of the origin of Quicksilver in Days of Future Past is mutant origin, which is, you know, because his father is Magneto.
Right.
To me, that's something important. But... And I like the cavalier attitude of that one a lot more than this one. This one wasn't punky enough for me. And I think that if you watch Flash and you watch the original Days of Future Past, speedsters have a knack to be snotty and sarcastic and flippant because they move so much faster than everyone else.
Right, they're thinking far ahead, they're moving faster, they can do all these different things. I like the scene, the Quicksilver scene in Days of Future Past. Like, that was an incredible scene, and I didn't really think that all the Quicksilver stuff in the Avengers was as good.
Was it?
I didn't think it was as good.
No. And I think that goes back to because they were focusing on showing you the Avengers as opposed right. to Quicksilver, where I love the idea of showing everything moving so slow as if you were running with Quicksilver. And I think that takes a huge FX team. And I think that paid a lot more attention to me instead of just seeing some streaks run across the thing as if they were, you know, as if they filmed that.
Sure.
I think there's a lot more patience in trying to film a scene and slow it down to frames per minute as opposed to, you know, filming it at like 1,000 frames per second so you could slow it down to make sure everything looks super slow-mo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree. I think Days of Future Past, Quicksilver was a bigger hit for me.
Laugh out loud moment was in the fight scene in Wakanda where Thor throws his hammer at somebody. Quicksilver sees that, grabs it in the air, and suddenly goes, whoosh, you know, flying. It was hilarious.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. I also like the moment where somehow she, you know, Scarlet Witch is able to manipulate everyone except Hawkeye. Like, he got whammied once, so he didn't get whammied again. That was a little wonky there, but hey, look, I like the snapback that he was able to just be like, boop, here you go.
Yeah.
Fool me once. So I guess we got to talk about the idea that Hawkeye has a family.
Yeah. Right? Yep. That's another big reveal. I'm not supposed to say anything about in my reviews. So about that, and, you know, when I write a review on Friday or mention it, although when we did interview him, I did ask them a question about, you know, because in all intents and purposes, he was a good dad, you know, to those kids. I mean, other than he's a secret agent, you know, running around, but, you know, he was a loving dad that you could see on screen. And I asked him about, you know, what does it feel like to be kind of like, you know, this dad and he's like, I'm not really supposed to talk about that.
Yeah, well, days later he talked about something else that totally got him in trouble, so.
Yeah, no, I'm not supposed to say anything about that, so I have to keep my, I gotta be quiet about all of that.
All right, we'll skip on. All right, so let's break it down for you. You start off this movie watching the Avengers. They're going to town on Hydra. They get back the scepter. Stark instantly realizes that the scepter is a computer interface. Is that what we're calling it? Like that. See, that whole thing bothered me.
He said it was like there was code
right
in there. It felt like a computer code. But I think when he got the scepter, right, that's when he got
whammied
right.
while looking at the scepter.
Right, exactly. So he got this vision of this vision of the future, sort of thing, and where, you know, he realizes that he's the only one who survives, you know, unless he does this thing to protect the world, and you know, the guilt of that surviving is so great that he builds this armor to protect the world, which becomes Ultron. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he does say that the stone, you know, revealing that the stone has some sort of code to it, which is like a computer code. So, and since he's brilliant.
And so, like, to me, once again, there are questions. Loki got some power from this stone. How did he get any power from the Mind Stone? How was he able to use that? Where was the computer interface? Wouldn't that have been put into everyone's brain that was tapped with? So many questions about the stone. Once again, origins of the stone, really, I really hope that they're fleshed out a lot more in the Infinity Stone series or something leading up to it. I think you might have to really focus like a whole season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to figure out where the stones came from, their history. I hope that there's something that really talks about the stones, their origins, the powers that they have and how they affected things and why they're coming together. Right.
Yeah. I would think that, you know, in at least in some one of these movies coming up that, you know, if you've got Thanos in it, he is probably one for, you know, he's the evil guy, so maybe he reveals his plan and he tells you about the stones. You know, it's some sort of exposition there about the stones.
Because we'll find out more in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which is what my son said to me last night. He's like, you'll find out more in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Dad. They explained the other stone really well in the first one.
Nice.
It's like, yeah, thanks, 6.5-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do talk about those stones, and in Thor 2, they explain about the darkness there, and that's one of the stones, and but they never really explained this.
We were counting this the other day, right? There, we've seen now 5 out of the 6 stones. So the cube from Avengers 1 is a stone.
Yep.
The Mind Stone, the stone in Loki's scepter, is the Mind Stone. So that's number 2, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Then number 3 was revealed in was Thor, right? Was the darkness.
Right.
4 was from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
We've seen the 5th one. I don't remember what it was now.
I'm not. Why am I not?
So it's Captain, the cube from Captain America, Loki's staff, the darkness in Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy. Have we seen 4 out of the 5? Is there only 5 Infinity Stones?
I think we've only seen 4. There are 6, I believe. I believe there are 6 Infinity Stones. I can check that. Well,
we're going to have to Google that.
Yeah. You were talking a little bit about the Hawkeye thing. I thought it was kind of interesting, and I mean, I'm sure you saw it all the way through, is like, is Hawkeye going to make it? Is he going to survive?
There was a lot of foreshadowing that he would be the one to come out bloodied.
And oh, there was a ton of it.
There was, and in some ways, I actually disliked that because I felt like he knew going into the battle that he was the one that was going to be the weak link. And his wife was sitting there being like, but you're the one that, you have the brains. You're the one that pulls these, you know, gods together. And it's like, well, the last time we heard that was when Coulson died, right? You were the glue that pulled the gods together. So I felt like there was so much foreshadowing going into it. I didn't see the love triangle that everyone talked about. I didn't see that at all.
The love triangle?
Yeah, and that was part of the thing that we can't discuss with some of the actors' reactions to that question. But there was... You know, in the series past, there talked about the flirting of Natasha and how she was flirting with Captain America and then flirting with, and had a past with Hawkeye and then had something going on with Banner that she was really falling in love with Banner.
Right. Well,
I didn't see that. I don't get that.
There was flirting, but I don't think it was so much. And I'm saying flirting with Captain America. There was some flirting in Captain America. And the Winter Soldier, but I don't think it was in so much a way that it was going anywhere. And there is definitely a history between Hawkeye and Black Widow, but that's, you know, that they've known each other for a long time, and they may have been involved in, you know, in the comics. I'm not quite sure, but you know, with Captain America, at least in the Winter Soldier, you know, it was some flirting. But it's interesting because there was a cartoon called The Next Avengers, which is like my daughter's favorite one, because it was the kids of the Avengers and the son of Captain America and Black Widow. There's a kid named James. So that was, I just, you know, even though that wasn't, you know, really spelled out or anything in the movie, there was some flirting, and I don't think it was going to go anywhere. But it's interesting that they made a movie called The Next Avengers that had, you know, the son of Captain America and Black Widow. And I'm not sure if they ever get together in the comics or not. I did just recently get Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, and, look at you.
Yeah. I've been going through.
My membership's up pretty soon. I'm a little dumb.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've gone through I'm starting to go through the Civil War. I'm starting to read Civil War.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably go the Infinity route. Although I do kind of want to check out House of M because Elizabeth Olsen had said that one of the things that really she liked about Scarlet Witch was the series House of M, and there's some stuff that happened there. So interesting to take a look at that. Getting back to our Infinity Stone thing. There are 6 Infinity Stones, known as the Infinity Gems. They consist of mind, soul, power, space, time, and reality. The Tesseract represents space.
Okay.
The Orb is the Power Stone. And we find out in the Avengers Age of Ultron that the Loki's scepter is the soul.
Mind.
Is it mind?
Mind.
It's not soul?
Mind.
Okay. It's just mind. Well, I would think it would be soul.
Mind.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how Loki controlled everyone, you know. That's,
with their mind? With okay. Mind.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yep. But it hasn't been revealed what the other ones are. So, what they represent. So, and I don't think it even the ether. That's the darkness there, but it never says what the ether lines up to be.
Okay, there you go. Well, I don't know. I thought the ether was. I don't know. Come on, really?
What?
Yeah. All right. yeah. Who knows?
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know anything about the soul gems. My day is long past of knowing who they were.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, there is no after-credit scene, but there is a mid-credit scene.
Right.
We're just going to jump to the end because we've been doing this for 50 minutes now. Right. So if you're still listening to us babble about this movie for 50 minutes, you've literally just watched the movie, half of it, right? So, there's a mid-credit scene. You don't have to say the brutal end of the credits. I love teaser credit scenes like that. I wish they were 30 seconds to a minute to 2 to 3 to 2 hours. I do wish that this teaser was a little longer.
I wish there was a second one. And what I would have liked to have seen, I don't know. It would have been... there was a couple things I wish I had seen. Possible Spidey. This is just... I know it wasn't going to happen, but that's what I wish I had seen. Or what I think would have been kind of funny or cool is you see the end of the movie, which I'm not going to say, but I imagine like zooming in microscopically and seeing like Ant-Man or something, you know, like, you know, you and I know what you see at the end of the movie, not the teaser thing, but the end part of it. I thought that would be kind of funny to just kind of like zoom in off to the side in one of the, you'd see Ant-Man. So, when you guys all see it, you'll kind of understand.
Good. You've seen Ant-Man already?
No. But it would have been kind of cool to see Ant-Man at the... I don't know. I'll talk to you about it afterwards. I guess I'm not making any sense whatsoever.
Nope, not at all. All right. So, yeah. Overall, we can nitpick about the stories. I thought the costumes looked awesome. I thought the character development about Bruce Banner was incredible in this film. I really, really, really hope the Hulk gets a spin-out movie. And there's nothing slated for the Hulk right now, correct?
No, there is nothing slated for the Hulk. Yeah, the whole slate of movies. We've got Ant-Man in July, Captain America Civil War, Doctor Strange, which they're deep into Doctor Strange right now with Benedict Cumberbatch, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Spider-Man, Thor, Avengers Infinity War Part 1, then Black Panther, then Captain Marvel, and then Infinity War Part 2, and then Inhumans after that. So they got a lot on the slate, but that doesn't mean they can't slip something else in.
Well, I really think that there should be a Hulk movie. I thought between Iron Man and the Hulk fight scene, there were some great... Oh, I can't believe we didn't even talk about Veronica.
Oh, yeah.
How did we not even talk about Veronica? Guys, we're not ending this podcast. We're going to go for another hour.
We could. Let's
talk about Veronica. I know you were in a panel where one of the bloggers asked about the name Veronica.
No, I wasn't. Nobody asked about the name Veronica.
Well, then one of the mom bloggers is lying on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So I will go research where did that come from, because...
I'll have to look in my my notes or listen to my notes, because I'm not recalling anything coming up where someone said Veronica.
No, I believe that was one of the questions that one of the bloggers asked. It was, I mean, now were you in a panel, like a small room with him, or were you in the big junket with him?
With who? Josh?
Josh.
It was a small room. There was 25 of us, but there were other bloggers that we know that were there. There was a big panel, a very large panel, and that's actually where like Kevin Feige talked more about Spider-Man, and like we didn't ask him much about that, and we didn't, you know, there were things that like we didn't ask. We were focusing more on the current movie than anything upcoming. In our questions, okay. We really didn't ask a lot of things that would be, you know, revealed as spoilers, because when we're writing our interviews and stuff, we really can't say anything that's a spoiler. So, like, I can't even say anything about my question to Jeremy Renner. So,
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it must have been another blogger that we know.
So this was asked in the full large panel. From one of the bloggers that we know, and the question was, where did the Hulkbuster armor come up with the name Veronica? Winden explained, "Well, I used to be in love with a girl named Betty, and that is the total opposite of that."
An Archie joke.
Yep. Yeah, how do you like that?
I saw something on Facebook. When I look at, click on one of the Avengers things, something said about an Archie joke on in Avengers. Yeah. There was like an Archie reference or an Archie joke in Avengers.
So, okay. There you go.
And now we know.
Yeah. And Josh also explained at the larger press conference that Hulk and Hawkeye's roles in Phase 2 be kept small because he had very big plans for those characters in Avengers Age of Ultron. Which absolutely turned out to be true. I was talking to my 6.5-year-old son about that. Who did you think was the star of the movie? And first he answered Ultron, right? He said Ultron dominated the movie. I tend to agree. James Spader did a fantastic job.
And he was funny. Voice.
Yeah. The script was written. I didn't meet him, so I'm sure you have a personal knowledge of that. I'm sure you could sit there and talk about how fast he is in person. But... the character was scripted very funny, very, very in line with the sarcasm that you'd expect from Iron Man, because it was like Iron Man's son, brother, destroyer. I thought he did steal a lot of the scenes, Ultron, especially when he was funny and sarcastic.
Right.
When he was just all about, like, I'm going to blow up the world. It was like, no. I really thought the Hawkeye scenes with his family were great. I thought they were really... pulled on those emotional heartstrings that you see that this guy has a family, and it also creates the darkness within Black Widow even more, that she can't have the family that she wants, and talks about that with Bruce about how they're both monsters. And I thought Bruce Banner really, like, we've seen Iron Man in 3 movies and the Avengers, and so Robert Downey Jr. plays him incredibly well, and I think that humor and wit's always been there, but I think in this instance you really got something special with Bruce Banner, and I thought it really talked about how they saw eye to eye, they were the technologists, so I really thought those character development was great. And then you get to see Samuel L. Jackson come back from the dead as Nick Fury.
Oh, yeah, that, okay. So, Tri-Carry comes out of nowhere, and Samuel L. Jackson's, like, at the helm of the Tri-Carry. That obviously has to be run by a number of people, okay? And then you've got, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you've got Coulson's folks, and you've got Edward James Olmos's folks, okay? Where is the crew that is piloting the ship, that, the Tri-Character?
That, my friend, is my problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and why I was disappointed that none of them were in that Tri-Carrier. Because if they would have had Edward James Olmos at least running around the background being like, we're pulling it together, or something. Or as you said, Bobby running around being like, we're doing it, Coulson. I thought that would have pulled the universes together. That, you know, that at some point they're gonna realize that he's still alive and that S.H.I.E.L.D. is still real, a real S.H.I.E.L.D. still exists.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll see that. I hope.
Yeah, man.
Maybe. We could hope. If not, you might be right about that. The TV might be diverging from the movie in a way that probably fans will react sadly to.
So I don't think that it is. There was just an article I read that where Joss said, you know, they're not in the same, but like the article is basically like, yeah, they are. And it has been since the original trailer of it that it's, right, you know, part of the same universe. So, you know, and especially the ties to it between the movies that have happened, the ties to it, and the ties that are going now, and you know, whatever's coming next. There's 3 more hours left of S.H.I.E.L.D. for this year, so you know, who knows? So
yeah. So I don't know. I think once again, it's a great movie. You'll see it. You'll see it once. You'll see it twice. You'll buy the Blu-ray. You'll buy the digital copy. You'll buy the T-shirt. You'll buy the action figures, which I will say, Target has an amazing selection of action figures.
Yeah.
you'll buy it all. What does it matter? We're going to spend every last dollar on this movie, on this product. We love Marvel. So I can't wait to see what happens next.
Me neither. That's just. I already went out and got all the Funko characters, and I'll be pre-ordering Scarlet Witch and Black Widow as well.
All right, there you go. Do you want to talk about just for one split second Marvel Collector Corps? Because you already got your box, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I signed up for Marvel Collector Corps, and basically what it is, it's through Marvel and Funko. And each month you get an exclusive Funko.
Not each month, every 2 months.
Every 2 months, you're right. Every box, so you get 6 a year. And there is an exclusive comic, a T-shirt, an exclusive Funko figure. And the only way that you can get the Hulkbuster for Age of Ultron is through Marvel Collector Corps.
Yep. So this is $25 a box if you do it on the monthly. If you pay all at once, $120, that you get this very special collector edition trophy at the end of the year on the first anniversary.
That's if you're part of the Founders. And I think That's already gone by.
No, still available.
Is the Founders still available?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I think on May 1st that's gone.
Yeah, but you're also missing shipping.
Right, yeah. You have to add shipping to that, which is $6, $7 a box. So it's not a cheap monthly package. I think it's cool. I know you got yours. I saw it. I instantly ordered mine, and we're very excited to start talking to Funko.
Nice. Yeah. So you ordered yours?
I ordered mine.
Good.
And so, by the way, if you don't know what it is, I'll give you the first leak, because I already got it from the PR guy. June's box. Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, that's for everybody else. I already knew that.
Oh, duh. You know everything. You met all the characters. You've had lunch with them.
Okay. We'll talk about this offline.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening to our 1 hour special on Marvel Avengers 2.
Yes. Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. We are literally clocking in at the beautiness of 59 minutes and 30 seconds. So please comment on this. If you listen to this, we're going to give you a prize. I don't know what we're going to dig up, but we're going to get you a prize. Once again, tweet us, follow us, dad.fm. Peace.